This is Radio Free Phoenix. Hi, it's Andy Olson, and we have the privilege to have with us over the phone lines Mr. David Bromberg. Hey there, David.
Hi.
It's very nice to talk to you.
Well, it's nice to talk to you.
You're coming to Phoenix for the first time in like 20 years.
Yes, you're the first person I've spoken to from Phoenix who remembers 20 years ago.
You know what? The last show I saw you at was at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix with Arlo Guthrie, and I think Arlo decided to open, and you were in his band, and then you backed up John Prine there.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was the last time I saw you, and that was well over 20 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
So you got your start as a session musician?
Yeah, I started out backing up other singers, and I started doing sessions, and Bad Company brought me here.
Bad Company brought you here?
Oh, it's just an old cliche.
Oh, okay, because then that group Bad Company came later.
Yes.
Yeah. So, your first album was self-titled, and I noticed that the cover looks pretty similar to your recent album.
Yeah, the new album, we that's a deliberate echo of the first one.
Did your wife, Nancy, draw the first cover?
No, actually, my sister, Serena, drew the first cover.
Oh, okay, because I was looking at it, and I'm looking at the vinyl copy from the first one, and I can't, it looks very similar.
Yeah, I know.
In style.
It was deliberate.
Okay, well, that's cool. One of the songs on your first album, and I've never heard the story behind this, maybe you can tell me about it, is the tune you co-wrote with George Harrison, The Hold Up.
Uh-huh.
How did that come about?
Well, I used to give a long, involved, drawn-out lie about that.
Did you?
But, yeah. The truth is that George and I were both invited to Thanksgiving dinner at the home of Al Aronowitz, who was a writer and a friend of one of the early Americans to get to know the guys in the Beatles. And he was also my manager at the time. And there was it was a Thanksgiving dinner. As a matter of fact, his daughter wrote a very nice article about it, a very nice piece about it in, I don't know if you have The Reader out there, but I think, a publication called The Reader some time ago.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Brett Aronowitz. Anyhow, and what she focused on was all her friends somehow heard that George Harrison was coming over, and they were very pissed at her for not inviting them, too. there was one gut string guitar sitting around, and George and I kind of passed it back and forth, and we didn't intend to write a song, but before we knew it, we had.
Your hands, you must stand and be there. My stomach's empty, my clothes are all torn. Open your hearts to the joys of the giver. Only your pockets are terribly worn. This is a hold up, no way to mistake it. We're men of violence, so don't fool around. If you have money, we're going to take it. Try and stop us, you'll end underground. Your money, we'll ride towards the sunset. At Rose's canteen, we'll stop at the door. We'll spend all your money just getting the nose wet. Tomorrow evening, we'll be back for more. So hand us the money, don't stand there and shiver. Tax time is coming, give alms to the poor. Put a bullet right through your best liver. Wealth is disease, and I am the cure. When we get your money, we'll ride towards the sunset. Rosa's canteen, we'll stop at the door. We'll spend all your money just getting the nose wet. Tomorrow evening, we'll be back for more. So here's the money, don't stand there and shiver. Tax time is coming, give alms to the poor. Or I'll put a bullet right through your best liver. Wealth is disease, and I am the cure.
David Bromberg on Radio Free Phoenix from the first record, a song co-written with George Harrison, and that is The Holdup. David is here with me online right now in town in the Phoenix area on Wednesday, June 20th in downtown Phoenix at the Orpheum Theater. We're just sort of looking at the first album here, and there's a lot of great songs on here, like Suffer to Sing the Blues, for example.
Well, thank you.
What's the story behind that one?
Oh, I don't know. It's just something I wrote one day. I don't know that there's any particular story behind it.
Uh-huh.
Actually, for a while, I stopped singing it because I was mad at it.
Were you?
But, you know, I got back to it, and I realized it's okay. It's right in the tradition, actually, and I started performing it again from time to time.
Yeah, I think, it's one of your key songs, as far as from my viewpoint.
Well, it's not too serious, but it's got a lot of the irony that you look for in blues, or that I look for in blues, I know. Mm-hmm.
On a poker game last Friday night, I won a couple hands. People, I was doing all right. I bet my money on a straight from the nine up to the king. But when the dealer showed his hand, he had the same damn thing. It seems I always lose. You've got to suffer if you want to sing the blues. You know, sometimes I play the horses, but it seems I never win. I went out to the races late last week again. This time I won $300. But as I left the track, some greasy man come up behind me, stuck a gun in my back. It seems I always lose. You've got to suffer if you wanna sing the blues. Got a sweet little girl, call her Run Around Sue. She's kind of rank looking, but she knows how to do. Well, now old Sue, she's got a boyfriend. They call him Gentleman Jim. I said, listen, Susan, sweetheart, choose me or him. And she said, you've got to suffer if you wanna sing the blues. Well, you can sing a happy song if you're glad. You can sing a protest song if you're mad. But if you wanna sing the blues, then boy, you better learn how to lose. It seems like I have had the same old blues now since all time began. So I went to talk my troubles to the hoodoo man. I told him all about my problem, and I asked him what was wrong. He said, you've got to live the blues if you want to sing your song. Seems like I'll always lose. You've got to suffer if you want to sing the blues. Well, you can sing a happy song if you're glad. You can sing a protest song if you're mad. Oh, but if you want to sing, then boy, you better learn how to lose. I went and bought myself a lottery ticket
just to change my luck. I thought I wouldn't mind the losing, 'cause it only cost a buck. I won an electric toaster and a baritone sax, but I had to pawn my clothes just to pay off the tax. It seems I always lose. You've got to suffer if you want to. I always lose. You've got to suffer if you want to. How come I always lose? You've got to suffer if you want to sing the blues.
It's David Bromberg on Radio Free Phoenix with me, Andy Olson. He's here on the phone, and we're looking at stuff from his first album as we sort of do a mini career retrospective. You have so many albums out there, it was difficult to pick songs from certain ones. And there's one song on the first one that sort of affects me in the same way. It's just like perhaps John Prine's Sam Stone. It causes the listener to just feel something by listening to it. And I think that Sammy song.
I'm very proud of that song. It's kind of unusual. I don't know of any other song that's about a young man's first sexual experience. And as it happens, it wasn't a good one. It's a pretty unique tune, I think.
I know the word I was searching for was slightly disturbing song. You listen to it for the first time, you go, whoa.
Well, you know who liked that? Since you asked me about George Harrison, Ringo Starr told me that John played my whole first album for the other three and made them listen to it. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the song that he was particularly struck by was Sammy's song.
Somewhere in the south of Spain, Sammy, still 16, goes with his uncle for a ride. The sun is high, sailing through the city for to see the sights and the talking sex. Sammy sitting tall, the sun is high. His uncle brings him to a brothel. Being big, he buys a drink, rum and coke. Don't taste too bad. Having brought him to the brink, his uncle leaves him with his drink, rum and coke. Don't taste too bad. The girls all gather in a group and give Sammy Boy the eye and stare at him seductively and try to make him buy. So choosing one that's younger, better looking than the rest, Sammy speaks no Spanish, but she understands. They go upstairs to buy the room. She wants her money in advance. Sammy speaks no Spanish, but he understands. And lying on her back upon the bed, she beckons. Sammy won't lie down yet. He wants her nude. Speaking Spanish, she refuses him. At last, afraid of losing him, she takes off all her clothes. He wants her nude. Her hands upon her heart can hardly hide the horrid scars. From her shoulder to her waist, her skin is leathery and hard. She pantomimes an accident, a car, a fire, not so long ago. His eyes are wide. She moves to put her clothes back on, but he won't let her go. He lies her down. His eyes are wide. And lightly like a lover, Sammy lets his lips caress the leather of her breast. His brain is numb, moved by some far distant mind. He makes himself her bridegroom. Sammy's hardly there at all. His brain is numb. She moves to take him in now, but her hand finds him still slack. So she sucks to make him hard and then again lies on her back. And Sammy does the deed to silent screaming in his skull. The scars surround him. His Is this all real? Schizophrenic Sammy sees himself outside his body and his brain. Is this all real? Back at the hotel, he has to heal himself, but all he does is shake and shake some more. Without the grace of tears or sickness, Sammy sucks it all inside and shakes some more. Without the grace of tears or sickness, Sammy sucks it all inside and shakes some more.
This is Radio Free Phoenix, David Bromberg and Sammy's Song. David Bromberg in town in the Phoenix area, the first time in 20 years at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Phoenix on June 20th, which is a Wednesday. And there's a whole story about you and how you got together way back when in New York with Jerry Jeff Walker.
Well, Jerry Jeff and I played together for a number of years. I was the band.
You and Jerry, was that when he was coming out of like Circus Maximus? Or?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd written a lot of tunes, and the other guys in Circus Maximus didn't like him. They were too country.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to be associated with country. They were jazz fusion, and with the exception of the bass player at the time, who himself is a very fine songwriter, his name is Gary White. And Gary liked Jerry Jeff's tunes, but the rest of the guys were not into him. So I ran into Jerry Jeff, and we started playing some tunes together. I was introduced by a harmonica player named Donnie Brooks, who later played with Waylon Jennings. And Jerry and I just hit it off, and we started playing here and there, and that's it.
You used to do Mr. Bojangles, it says here on one of your discs, for like an hour at a time.
Oh, that was one of the things that we did was I had played a lot on a radio station in New York, a listener-sponsored station. It was called Radio Unnameable was the name of the program. And it was run by a man named Bob Fass, who's still on the air and still a really wonderful, I hate to call him DJ, he's more than that, but he's a wonderful character. And he fell in love with Mr. Bojangles, and so he made a tape loop of three different performances, three times we'd done it on his show. And he would run that tape loop sometimes several times during a night. So that kind of got the tune around. I mean, it was an obscure little FM station.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like it was on, any big-time station, but I think a lot of people used to listen to it. I know a lot of people used to listen to it. Amongst them was a guy named Bobby Cole, who was the piano player at a bar called Jilly's, which was Frank Sinatra's hangout when he was in New York City. And he heard the tune and recorded it himself, thinking that it had already been released. And it hadn't been. The only privilege that a songwriter gets in relation to his material is he gets to decide who can release it first. And Date Records, which was a subsidiary of CBS, released Bobby Cole's recording of Mr. Bojangles, thinking that it was already out there. And Jerry Jeff had signed a contract with Atco, which was a subsidiary of Atlantic, and they had a little bit of a fight over it. Finally, Date rescinded the record, or you know, let the DJs know that they couldn't play it yet, and released their version. ATCO released their version, but a lot of the DJs thought that, you know, the one they'd heard first was Bobby Cole's version, and to them that would always be the original. So there was kind of a war between ATCO and Columbia, Atlantic and Columbia, and as a result, neither record had a big hit. They were both small hits. But the way this the business works is if one or the other of them had been out, it would have been a big hit. So it wasn't a big hit until the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band recorded it years later.
That was a song that went into so many interesting places, and so many people had recorded it.
Oh, yeah.
From one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah, George Burns performed it. A lot of the people who performed it identified the song with a man named Bill Robinson, who invented a style of dancing called hoofing. Mm-hmm. And he Bill Robinson had appeared in movies with Shirley Temple, and he was a big star. But really, the song has to do with a guy who simply called himself Bojangles to identify himself as a dancer. And the guy the song was written about was a wino. And Bill Robinson was anything but that. Bill Robinson was a very gifted and together artist. So it's kind of funny. I'm sure that George Burns was thinking about Bill Robinson when he did the tune. Jerry Jeff wrote the song, at least he told me that he wrote the song, about a guy he shared a drunk tank with. In New Orleans, there would be a lot of people who lived on the street. Usually they were winos, and they would survive by going into bars and either pantomiming to the song on the jukebox, you know, lip-syncing, or dancing to it, and then they'd cage drinks or nickels and dimes. And that's who the song was written about, one of those guys.
You know, I knew a man, Bojangles, and he'd dance for you. Worn-out shoes, silver hair, a ragged shirt, and baggy pants. You do the old soft shoe. He jumped so high, you know he jumped so high. And then he'd lightly touch down. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, come on down. I met him in a cell down in New Orleans. All right. I was down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age. As he spoke right out, he talked of life. Yes, he talked of life. He laughed and slapped his leg a step. He said the name Bojangles, and then he danced a lick across the cell. He grabbed his pants for a better stance, so he jumped up high, high. He clicked his heels. He let go a laugh, you know he let go a laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, come on down. This is really a true story, you know, a lot of people have heard the song, and
Well, at least Jerry Jeff tells me it's a true story. I played guitar with Jerry Jeff Walker for about 2 years, and we did this song every night for 2 years, and I never got tired of it. Jerry got a little tired of it. At night after the clubs had closed, we'd do horrible things to it. But it's a true story. This guy, Bojangles, was a street dancer in New Orleans, and what he'd do is he'd go from bar to bar, and he'd put money in the jukebox or get somebody else to do it, and then he'd either dance or pantomime the tune, right? And for that, people would buy him drinks and get him pretty drunk, and then he'd go on to the next bar and next one until it was closing time, and then he'd go and do it the next night. And after a few nights of this, he'd end up on the corner, and the cops would pick him up, and they'd take him to the drunk tank, which is where Jerry Jeff met him. Jerry Jeff wasn't there on a research project. I mean, the way I got that story, I may have that wrong, but the way I got that is that he propositioned the right woman at the right time in the wrong place. And her husband, the bartender, called the cops, and they took Jerry to the parish jail. And this guy just talked for 3 days in the cell about, you know, what he'd done. Said he danced for those at minstrel shows and county fairs. Throughout the South, he spoke with tears of 15 years how his dog and him had traveled about. His dog up and died, you know, his dog up and died. After 20 years, he still grieves. He said, I dance now at every chance in the honky-tonks for drinks and tips, but most of the time I spend behind these county bars, 'cause I drinks a bit. He shook his head, and as he shook his head, I heard someone ask, please. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles.
Very autobiographical piece. David Bromberg talking about Mr. Bojangles. David is with us here now on Radio Free Phoenix. David, we've been playing your songs ever since Radio Free Phoenix went on the air.
Wow, that's wonderful. So thank you.
I've always been a champion of your music.
I appreciate that.
So Radio Free Phoenix was created just out of the the inability to play this kind of music on the radio.
Yeah, freeform radio came and went. And I understand that it's making a resurgence, and what you just told me, I guess, is proof of that.
The internet is almost like the early days of television. Anybody has the wherewithal for it can put something on, you know.
Right.
And, you know, give it their flavor or their viewpoint of what, you know, they want to do.
Yeah, the internet is shaking things up in a really good way, I think.
How is that working for you? I was looking at the one official Bromberg website.
I don't know that it affects me all that much. There are a bunch of tape traders who trade my my tapes on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and all I can say is more power to them. You know, it's flattering that they're that interested, and there's a bunch of people involved in it. And you know, at one point, like many artists, I didn't like the idea of people recording my shows. You know, that's why I made records that had no quality control and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole viewpoint has been changed by the internet and by these people who trade the tapes, because they don't sell them, they trade them. And they're not there's kind of a code amongst the traders that if something that they trade amongst them appears commercially so that the artist gets royalties, then they stop trading it. You know, they're really trying to be good people, so I'm supportive of them.
One of my favorite albums that you put out, especially the cover on it, is one of Dead or Alive with that King Kong takeoff.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And especially the picture of you in the back looking through the window.
Jim McGuire, who does most of the album covers of the albums that come out of Nashville, is responsible for that. At the time, he was in New York City, and we were friends, and still are friends.
Send Me to the Electric Chair. What a great tune.
That's a Bessie Smith tune.
Is it?
Yep.
How did
she sang a lot of really wonderful tunes, but... they're hard to separate. At that time, there were only singles. You know, there was no such thing as an LP. And of course, she had hits. And then, as now, when you had a hit, the record company would try and get you to do something just like it afterwards. So that would be a hit too. And so, as a result, there's a sameness to the recordings that is hard to hear through. So if you get, you know, a compilation of Bessie Smith things, it's tricky to pick out the gems, and there certainly are gems. But that's a great old tune.
He said, "Judge, Your Honor, you're my plea. Before you open up your car, I don't crave no sympathy for what I have to report. I caught up with a gambling Joe. I had warned her about once before. I pulled my knife and I went insane. The rest you already know. He said, "Judge, judge, good kind judge, send me to the electric chair." He said, "Judge, judge, hear me, judge, I want to get out of here. I want to take a joint to the devil down below. I sliced up my sweet patootie. I gotta read just what I sow. So judge, judge, hear me, judge, and send me to the electric chair." We'll be right back. Oh, listen to me, John. Please now send me up to the electric chair. He said, John, Your Honor, Mister, Sir, I love that girl so dear. I don't want no bondsman to go my bail, and I don't want to spend no 99 years stuck in your stinking jail. Judge, judge, hear me, judge, or send them to the electric chair. Sir Ricka, please send me to the electric chair. Our judge, now judge, Meister judge, bind me 'cause I don't care. First I cut her with my Barlow, and then I kinda kicked her in the side, and then I stood there laughing on her while she bubbled up in the. So judge, judge, and send me to the electric chair.
Radio Free Phoenix, I'm Andy Olson with David Bromberg. It's a pleasure to have you here, David.
Well, I'm enjoying this.
We are just sort of picking some of our favorite David Bromberg tunes to play, and another good one on Wanted Dead or Alive is the new Lee Highway Blues.
Yeah, people request that a lot. The story behind that is if you spend a lot of time traveling and you write songs, pretty soon all you really are familiar with is traveling. And it gets very boring listening to these road songs of people who, you know, were never forced out on the road, but they're complaining, oh, babe, won't you come back to the hotel room and make it all better, you know. And I didn't want to write one of those, but, you know, I knew a lot about traveling, so I decided to write a song that would strike people as familiar, even if they were not traveling musicians. Something that it could be, you know, a couple of guys on a road trip, it could be escaped convicts, it could be all kinds of things, and evidently it does strike a good chord. People identify with it.
All through northern Oregon, always at my side, sleeping in those narrow beds, and then we'd ride, drinking in those dirty bars, keeping out of sight, sleeping in that cold back seat, and then we'd ride. You know, that goddamn road seemed like it went forever. Exhaust fumes made our eyes turn red and swell. With our clothes stuck to the seat and to our bodies, it was a stinking summer trip through southern hell. Eating carbonated crap, churning up inside. Yeah.
gas off service station, John, and then we'd ride. Go to Hades, crummy little one-horse town, with the seamy movie houses long closed down. Nowhere to go from here but up or down that road, and nothing over there but the same goddamn town. Another sour coffee cup, one more piece of cardboard pie, buy a toothbrush, change clothes, and then we'll ride.
Radio Free Phoenix, and there we have David Bromberg and the New Lee Highway Blues from Wanted Dead or Alive. I think I'd like to play Sharon.
Okay.
What album was Sharon on?
Sharon is another tune that I recorded twice.
Because it's on the best of, but did it come out earlier?
It's probably on the first or second album. I really don't remember. And then it's on the double album that I did for Fantasy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, which is, for me, the better version. Did you know that Widespread Panic is performing Sharon?
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah.
I think somebody made some mention that they had heard another version of it somewhere.
Yeah, well, evidently Widespread Panic is doing it. I'm doing Bonnaroo, and I'm looking forward to meeting those guys because they're doing it as well, and I can't wait to hear them perform it. I actually wrote Sharon for a woman who became my sister-in-law. She's older than I am, and still the dirtiest dancer I've ever seen in my life.
I was at this carnival just a few years ago. No big deal, Ferris wheel, same old stuff, you know. And I wandered around the grounds until I found this little tent. Man outside made a speech, and this is how it went. She walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. It was the same old line, except for one part. He said it don't cost no money, you got to pay with your heart.
Oh, Sheriff,
what do you do to these men?
You know the same rowdy crowd that was here last night is back again.
Well, I went inside and I looked around for a seat. The lights went low and the drums played a beat. Then this girl come out dressed in a scarf and a sneeze. And she did a little dance that made me weak in the knees. She danced just like her back had no bone, while the band played a tune they called the Main Street Moan. She smiled a smile for the whole world to see. And then she turned her head and she looked straight at me. I must have jumped at least 6 feet in the air. And when I come down, that girl wasn't there.
Oh, Sharon,
what do you do to these men?
You know the same rowdy crowd that was here last night is back again.
And out come this dude with curly red hair. He had a big bushy beard and he was built like a bear. He said, you stop your shouting, there's no more to the show. And if you want to breathe right, you'd all better go. I didn't hang around, I headed straight for the door. But on my way out, I heard that big bear roar.
Oh, Sharon,
what do you do to these men?
know the same rowdy crowd that was here last night is back again.
Every night that that show played, I was right there. I stayed out of the reach of that mean red bear. And it was just like the man had said in his speech at the start. It's when the carny left town, it took a piece of my heart. And I still get a funny feeling deep down in my bones every time I hear a band play that Main Street Mall. What do you do to these men?
You know the same rowdy crowd that was here last night is back again.
Radio Free Phoenix, and that is David Bromberg. And Sharon, I had seen you play back in, gosh, I don't know when it was. It was like 84, 85 maybe, with Arlo Guthrie and John Sebastian in something that was called the Limoges Tour.
And you, Limoges?
Something like that. You came here to Phoenix, and you played, I think, either at Gamage Auditorium. And this was your first time back with your band after having been retired for a number of years.
Uh-huh.
The highlight of the show was when you were egging John Sebastian to come back out on stage. And you kept going, John, oh, John. And finally, he jumped out on stage.
He's a good guy.
That was.
I haven't seen him in a while. I really like him very much. And I like him as a musician. I like him as a man. And I have to say the same about Arlo. Arlo's just, he's a really fine musician. And he's best known for Alice's Restaurant, which is a wonderful tune. But his musicianship doesn't get shown in it. He's a very fine musician, and I'm proud to say a good friend.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. I've sort of followed him since, I think, Washington County came out.
Uh-huh. Good album.
One of, like, my first 20 albums or something, I think. Oh, Midnight on the Water. 1976, you put out this disc, and you actually covered a song that was written by David Blue.
Yeah, I Like to Sleep Late in the Morning.
And Jerry Jeff Walker did his own version of that, too.
Uh-huh. And the first time that I recorded that was with Patrick Skye.
Well, what's the history on Patrick Skye?
Well, Patrick was one of the singer-songwriters who was around the village, and a good one, in the late 60s. And he was a funny character and a good musician. And he made some interesting albums, and he asked me to play on an album, and one of the tunes he did was I Like to Sleep Late in the Morning. And so when he told me he wanted to do that, I worked out a guitar part that I was very proud of. And eventually I decided I'd record the tune.
Told me today, boy, you're wasting your life away. She said, it's bad how I spend my time. She said, I'll never make a dime. I told her that I like to sleep late in the morning. I don't like to wear no shoes. I make love to women while I'm living. Get drunk on a bottle of booze. Now, I know I can't keep living this way, being broke from day to day. I gotta stop this running around. I get a job and settle down. Oh, but I like to sleep late in the morning. I don't like to wear no shoes. I make love to the women while I'm living. Get drunk on a bottle of booze. I know this can't go on. Yes, I should get up at dawn. Or get a job and do it right. I'll be in bed by 8 each night. Hey, but I like to sleep late in the morning. I don't like to wear no shoes. I make love to the women while I'm living. Drunk on a bottle of booze. Take it, David. Fingers, do your stuff. I mean,
you probably don't. This is really hard. I mean, it might not impress you, but she has bass and treble at the same time. Fantastic! How does he do it? Hey, I know that there's a lot waiting for me. Straight as how it should be. I'll be smiling all the time. I get my hair cut and my sneakers shine. Oh, but I like to sleep late in the morning. I don't like to wear no shoes. I'll make love to the women while I'm living drunk on a bottle of booze. Gal told me today, she said, David, you're wasting your life away. She said, it's bad how you spend your time. Son, you never make a dime. Oh, but I'd like to sleep late in the morning. I don't like to wear no shoes. I make love to the women while I'm living drunk on a bottle of booze. Yes, I will.
That is David Bromberg on Radio Free Phoenix. Hi, this is Andy Olson, and we have David Bromberg with us, at least over the phone, because he's coming to town June 20th in the Phoenix area, out at the Orpheum Theater. A long time ago, it was called the Palace West for a number of years. It was an old broken-down movie theater before they revitalized the place.
It was probably the Orpheum before it was the Palace West.
Yeah, you're right.
And then they changed it, and then they changed it back. I'm expecting to have a very nice surprise for the audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's a surprise, so I can't say any more than that.
Okay, no hints, huh? Just a surprise. Midnight on the Water, you have a tune called The Joke's on Me.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's a good track. What's the history on that?
It was a song I wrote about a love affair that inspired me to write that song. What can you say? You know, it's the truth.
You always said that your love would stand the test of time. It was deeper and stronger. It was wider and longer. You could feel it was realer than mine. For me, I was the playboy, and you were the girl, good and true. That was a fairy tale that you believed in, babe. Funny thing is, I believed it too. Well, the joke's on me. Oh, the joke's on me. Oh, joke's on me. It's been a long year now since I've seen you. Since that night you slapped me in the face, and telling me tales of your new love, you really put me in my place. Now I don't blame you for your new life. I wish I could live mine the same. You know, for a beginner, babe, really know how to play the game. Well, the joke's on me. Ah, oh, the joke's on me. Oh, the joke's on me. Joke's on me. The joke's on me. Lord, yeah. Well, the joke's on me.